April 11th, 1990, Communion Service, Thomas Halbrooks.
Let us pray. Almighty God, thou alone art righteous. We are created in your image, and our sin has rendered us most unworthy servants. We make bold to offer this worship solely on the basis of the tender mercies revealed in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us join together as we read responsively. Create in us clean hearts, O God. Cast us not away from your presence. Restore to us the joy of your salvation.
And grant us the little spirits to uphold us.
Amen. Hear the words of the psalmist in Psalm 69. Save me, God, for the water has risen to my neck. I sink in muddy depths where there is no foothold. I have come into deep water, and the floods sweep me away. I am exhausted with crying. My throat is sore. My eyes are worn out with waiting for God. Those who hate me without reason are more than the hairs of my head. My persecutors are strong. My foes are treacherous. How can I restore what I have not stolen? At an acceptable time, I lift my prayer to you, Lord. In your great and enduring love, answer me, God, with sure deliverance. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Let me be rescued from my enemies and from the watery depths. Let no billows sweep me away, no abyss swallow me up, no deep close over me. Answer me, Lord, in the goodness of your unfailing love, in your great compassion, turn towards me. Do not hide your face from me, your servant. Answer me without delay, for I am in dire straits. Come near to me and redeem me. Deliver me from my enemies. Heap punishment after punishment on them. Grant them no vindication. Let them be blotted out from the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the innocent. I am afflicted and in pain. Let your saving power, God, set me securely on high. I shall praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. That will please the Lord more than the offering of a bull, a young bull with horns and cloven hoofs. When the humble see this, let them rejoice. Take heart, you seekers after God, for the Lord listens to the poor and does not despise his captive people. Let sky and earth praise him, the seas and all that moves in them. For God will deliver Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. His people will settle there and possess it. The children of those who serve him will inherit it, and those who love his name will live there. Our Old Testament lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 4 through 9. Hear the words of Holy Scripture. The Lord God has given me the tongue of one who has been instructed to console the weary with a timely word. He made my hearing sharp every morning that I might listen like one under instruction. The Lord God opened my ears, and I did not disobey or turn back in defiance. I offered my back to the lash and let my beard be plucked from my chin. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. But the Lord God is my helper. Therefore, no insult can wound me. I know that I shall not be put to shame. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. One who will clear my name is at my side. Who dare argue against me? Let us confront one another. Who will dispute my cause? Let him come forward. The Lord God is my helper. Who then can declare me guilty? They will all wear out like a garment. The moth will devour them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of Holy Scripture.
Join me and let us confess our sin before God. Almighty God, we demand that the kingdom come on our terms rather than yours. We are often silent when we should speak and vengeful when we should be silent.
We walk away from our neighbors in need, grant us on our terms. We have gone along with retaliation, with prejudice, with warfare, with greed.
Most gracious God, help us to face up to ourselves and to wait upon you.
As you move toward us in mercy, we remain, turn to you, and ask to receive your forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. We are assured in Scripture that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The gospel lesson for the day comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, beginning with the 14th verse and reading through the 25th verse. Then one of the 12, the man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What will you give me to betray him to you?" They weighed him out 30 pieces of silver. From that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came and asked Jesus, "Where would you like us to prepare the Passover for you?" He told them to go to a certain man in the city with this message. "The teacher says, 'My appointed time is near. I shall keep the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" The disciples did as Jesus directed them and prepared the Passover. In the evening, he sat down with the 12 disciples. And during supper, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed at this, they asked him one by one, "Surely you do not mean me, Lord?" He answered, "One who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man is going the way appointed for him in the Scriptures, but alas for that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas spoke, the one who was to betray him, "Rabbi, surely you do not mean me." Jesus replied, "You have said it." Judas never understood. Not that there was anything wrong with his feelings. Far from it. Judas desired deliverance. Deliverance from the oppression of the Romans, and he was not alone. Such desires were by no means new. The Old Testament is full of laments and cries for deliverance. The psalm we read expresses such a desire repeatedly. "Save me, God, for the water has risen to my neck. In your great and enduring love, answer me, God, with sure deliverance. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Come near to me and redeem me. Deliver me from my enemies." To desire deliverance was to express normal human emotions and stand in a long tradition. Furthermore, Judas desired vengeance. He wished retribution for his oppressors. He wanted them to suffer as he had suffered at their hand. Again, he was not alone. Others desired vengeance against the Romans, and they all stood in a tradition of expressions of vengeance, such as those in the psalm we read. "Vent your indignation on them, and let your burning anger overtake them. Heap punishment after punishment on them. Grant them no vindication. Let them be blotted out from the book of the living." with his desire for vengeance, Judas also stood in a long tradition expressing normal human emotions. Still, Judas never understood. He had never learned the lesson which the prophet in the Isaiah text had learned. The prophet had learned to listen and wait on God. He had moved beyond vengeance to justice, being assured of deliverance in God's own good time. Listen again to his words. The Lord God made my hearing sharp every morning that I might listen like one under instruction. But the Lord God is my helper. Therefore, no insult can wound me. I know that I shall not be put to shame. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. The Lord is my helper. Who then can declare me guilty? They will all wear out like a garment. The moth will devour them. The prophet had learned that not only must we be honest with God about our feelings, we must listen to God. Furthermore, we must be patient and wait for God to act in God's own good time. We pray for God's kingdom to come, but we cannot force it to come. We work toward its coming, but we must wait for God to bring in the kingdom when God is ready. But Judas never understood. He was not ready for the idea of waiting. He had to take matters solely into his own hands. Clearly, Jesus was the one to lead the overthrow of the Romans, but he was taking too long. He was not getting on with the job. Judas had to force his hand. When he delivered him into the hands of the Romans, Jesus would have to exercise his power and lead the insurrection to free himself, his disciples, and his people. It was a clear and logical plan. When Jesus said, "One of you will betray me," Judas could reply with a clear conscience, "Rabbi, surely you do not mean me." He was not betraying Jesus. He was giving him his opportunity. Judas never understood. He was acting on normal human emotions of desire for deliverance and for vengeance, but he had not moved beyond vengeance to justice, and he was determined to bring it about solely by his own plans in his own time rather than waiting on God. He did not trust God to do the job. Trust or betrayal? That was the crux of the matter. Because he trusted himself and his plans rather than trusting God, he betrayed God. The other disciples were much less sure of themselves. When Jesus announced his betrayal, they one by one asked in distress, "Surely you do not mean me, Lord." They wanted to follow, to be true disciples, but they also knew their human emotions and frailty. They could not be sure of their own actions. They could only trust God, act as best they could on that trust, and hope. And that was enough. But Judas never understood. Even after it was clear that his plan would not work, it would end in disaster and death, even then he had to follow his own plan. He had to take matters totally into his own hands. He could not trust God for forgiveness. Even in the end, he refused to trust and thus betrayed God and ended his life in tragedy. The disciples did not fully understand, but they had experienced something unique around the table that last night. They too desired deliverance and justice, possibly some even vengeance, but they were willing to trust God and wait. Jesus had said something about his broken body and shed blood given for them. They waited and watched the agony of the cross. They waited and met the risen Christ. They waited, and in breaking bread from house to house, they experienced communion with the living Christ and communion with each other. They experienced forgiveness, deliverance, empowerment. They experienced assurance that God's kingdom would come. They could work toward its coming, but it would come in God's own good time, and they could be the heralds of the dawning of that new kingdom. So we gather here this morning during Holy Week with normal human emotions, desiring deliverance and justice. We can be honest to God about them. We can work toward their realization, but we cannot force God to respond on our terms. We must work, but we must also listen and wait for God's kingdom to come in God's own good time. And in the midst of our work, we can experience a foretaste of the kingdom and an assurance of its coming as we gather in communion. Let us wait around the table. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we offer our heartfelt and hearty thanks for these gifts of bread and wine and for what they portray for us. We thank you for the reminder they give us of the cost of pain and suffering to bring reconciliation. We thank you for the communion they offer us with the living Christ and with each other. We thank you for the assurance they give us of the coming of your kingdom, of the promise of deliverance and justice and mercy. Now, as we in trust commune together around the table, as Christ makes himself available to us all, may he make us all one in himself. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And after supper, he took also the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins." For as oft as you drink this bread and eat this cup, drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Let us commune together. The early church always passed the peace when they celebrated communion. Turn to those closest to you, extend the hand of fellowship, and say to them, "The peace of God be with you," and hear their response, "And also with you." And now, as we look toward the closing days of Holy Week, let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us to pray and close with the hymn. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. Go in peace.